Thank you very much, brothers. We always appreciate hearing those four gentlemen sing. That reminds me of the times that our brother Bob lived here, and we were blessed to hear his voice, hear him preach. Hearing him yesterday reminded me of a lot of things, being my next-door neighbor growing up and having him around through a lot of times in my life. I really appreciate hearing his messages and their plainness and typically in their ability to call us to a higher level, call us to something that we are remiss in our life. I was reading the last verse of this song that we sang, 254, Revive Us Again. And this is really the prayer of my heart, that as it says here, that each heart would be filled with love and each soul be rekindled. And I believe that when we talk about reunions and when we have the opportunity to go to Idaho or to Canada or to Colorado, or if it's right here in our own backyard, that's what a reunion is. You think about kindling a fire, and typically you kindle a fire to keep warm or to cook food, something of sustenance of life, and that's what this is. So this day, I would ask that you would give your utmost attention to our brother, knowing that he has traveled a long ways. I had the opportunity last year to go down to Cancun and to meet with him and his family and to meet with our brothers and sisters at the Cancun local there, and greatly enjoyed my time. And I've known our brother here for some time. I was trying to remember when I first met him, and I can't really say. He's been around and he's been in my prayers for as long as I can remember. So this day, since I've been up sitting here, I think my phone has probably rang, or I've gotten a message or an email three or four times in those short minutes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the phone out of my pocket. I'm going to shut it off. And I would ask that each of you consider to give your utmost attention to our brother, but most of all, your utmost attention to the words that the Lord has to say this day. And so with that, I give you our brother and apostle, Placido.
Thank you. Dear brothers, in the great family of Jesus Christ, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. There is no other place like the house of our Heavenly Father. I feel in this place protected because we know that God is with us. I want to extend the greetings of your brothers in Mexico, especially the ministry. I'm getting messages from them telling me to greet each one of you. They're praying for you. Now that with the communication we have, it's a blessing. Every necessity we can communicate with them, and soon they're praying for each one of you. So you are not alone. We live far away, but we have one church, one God, one baptism, one spirit. Now is the time for us to receive the word, to receive the message. Are you ready? A few minutes ago, we were making line for the material food. I hope that now you're making line for the spiritual food. We need to receive the food, the spiritual food, the word of God. Sometimes in our lives, when we hear a sermon, has it happened to you here? When we heard a sermon, someone said, did you hear that? We're giving sermons to other people, but today the sermon is for each one of you. It's for me. Let's begin reading in Jacob 2:50. I want to say, brothers, that many of the passages I have, they have already read it. But I will read it anyway, because that's what God put us, he put me in my mind to share it with you. It says, Jacob chapter 2, verse 50. All ye that you are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God, and feast upon his love, for ye may, if your minds are firm forever. We need to receive the pleasing word of God. Are you ready to receive the pleasing word of God? If we receive the words of God, our minds will be firm. And what does it says here? Forever. A year, 2 years, 3 years? No, forever. When I was preparing the sermon, when I got the invitation to preach, I was praying and thinking, what do I need to preach about? It passed several days. I didn't receive anything. I was a little worried. Last Monday, I tried to study, nothing. But Tuesday morning, I got the message. I got the message, and it was clear in my mind, what do I need to talk to you? And that's what God wants you to know. Because I heard in the first sermon, I heard in the first sermon the same part, the same passage. I heard in the prayers the same statements that I'm going to talk about. Why? Because God wants you to pay attention, to listen to the pleasing word of God. Is it not a blessing? I live 2,000 miles away from here. God is working with me there in my house, and God is working with the brothers here that preach for us. God has a message for each one of you. The problem sometimes is because we do not pay attention. It happened in my life. I heard the word of God, and for many years I didn't pay much attention to it. But now we are ready to receive the pleasing word of God that make us to be firm. And how does it say? For what? Forever. Yes. The message that I received, that it was clear in my mind to talk with each one of you, is keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, it's difficult for me to make a sermon. In English, it's not my native language. It's easier for me to do it in Spanish. I have many sermons, and I think I can pick one of these and just preach. But no, I want God to tell me what to preach. And he put me in my mind these words: keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know, there are many obstructions in life. There are many obstacles in life. When you want to serve God, there are many obstacles. There are many things that it's impeding you to continue. It's the same here, it's the same in Mexico and in every part of this world. Because the devil is real. He's trying to discourage the church, the young people. There are many obstructions in our lives. I had a beautiful experience. I chose this sermon to tell you about this because God is working with me, and I feel humble. I'm not worthy for all what he's doing in my life at this time, But I know that God loves each one of you. He loves me and he cares about his church. Christ is at the head of the church. We need to be sure. We need to be confident. It's like flying in a plane. When I came here, I just sat down and relaxed. The pilot knows where to take me. It's the same thing when we believe in God. We need to trust him that he's in charge, that he's in control. And it's not just an expression, but it's the reality. I will tell you the experience I had. We were getting information in the council from other people. When I got those information, I sat down in my desk and I read it. Almost word by word, so I can understand. After I read all of the information, I was looking at the my computer, and it came immediately a word that I know that is the answer of all of those distractors. When after that, I said, now I know what those things mean. You know, in these last days, we're going to have many distractors. We have many distractors in our life, but as a whole church, we have many things that it's distraction for us. We need to trust in God. Let's read in Hebrew. In Hebrew, chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, Hebrew chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The first phrase, underline, looking unto Jesus. Sometimes we forget to focus on Jesus. Did you hear these expressions in the last preaching or the testimonies? Or they say we need to stay focused. We need to look into Jesus every day. In my life, when I stop looking Jesus as my example, I miss my point. It has happened many times in my life, but God has helped me to look unto Jesus every day. It doesn't matter what is happening out there. God is in control of his church. God is in his church. Jesus Christ is at the head of his church and is with us. Looking into Jesus. We need to do that every day. Sometimes the problems, the situation that is happening in our lives, sometimes we think that they are bigger than our faith. It's not true. It's like staying close to a building. You can see that it's a huge building. But if you are far, you will see that it's a small building and soon will disappear. Let's continue. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What do we have before us? A race. We need to run the race with what? Patience. Yes, there's one that is listening. Thank you. So you need to help me. If not, I will repeat the sermon. Patience. Yes. Do we all need patience? I do. I need patience with people around me. I need patience with myself. Yes. There is a race before us. Let's run that with patience. You know, working at the church, God gave me the opportunity to work, and I have been working for the church 30 years. I have seen that I need patience. We need to run the race with patience. But it says here, underline this, great cloud of witnesses. What do you have? A great cloud of witnesses. We have witnesses of God's blessing, of God's direction. We have the blessing to be in a peculiar people, in a church, in a restored church that God restore with power and glory. The marvelous work started in the restoration in 1830. Since that time to now, we have seen many, many blessings, miracles, revelations. And we know that we're going to have many distractors, many information out there. But we need to stay focused. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. It's like if you're driving. Have you seen the accidents when the driver put his eyes, took his car there? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and his church. Do not miss the point. The point is Christ, his church, the kingdom that Daniel was talking about, that no one can destroy. Is it not a fantastic blessing to belong to that church? Every day in my life, I'm thankful to be part of this church. Because God is always giving us a cloud of witnesses. That's why we need to be focused every day. Remember that the devil is going to give us distractors, things that it looks you can see that probably they're good, but no. Thanks God, because he's always speaking to us. And that's the blessing in my life. Because when we read in the scriptures that there is nothing that God is not going to reveal to who? To his prophets, to his church. God is giving us the information. God is leading us in the correct way. Don't forget that we have so great cloud of witnesses. We have a great examples of enduring faith. I want, for me, it's encouraging to see that people like in Mexico, they were the first members of the church, and they are still in the church. Is it not a blessing? we have great examples of enduring faith. I always remember one sister there. She had many problems in life. Her husband left her, and almost all the church people left the church, but she stayed. That's a great example of enduring. For many years, she attended just by herself to the church. And the pastor there gave the preaching, the church is full. Those are examples for me. I like to see the first members always enduring to the end. We have great examples of enduring faith. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Because there is no impossible for who? For Jesus Christ. Yes. Let's read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live ye not I, but Christ lived in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live it by what? By faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is it not beautiful? I have underlined, but Christ lived in me. If Christ is living in your heart, you need to be focused. You need to stay focused on him. Remember, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. It's a challenge. It's our task every day. If you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, you will be firm at the end. Remember, only the people that are going to endure to the end, they will have salvation. I am crucified with Christ. But Christ lived in me. We need to pray that God is always in our heart. It's easy to doubt. The devil put us just a doubt. One brother, ministry in the church, it says a phrase that when the devil put you a doubt in your life, in your mind, he go and take a nap. Because he put a doubt in your mind. We need to have Christ living in your heart. That's the only way we can endure to the end. As a church here, you have a big responsibility. You need to be the light to the world. Yes. When I'm in Mexico, when we have a situation or anything, they usually ask me, how do the brothers in the States can solve this? How do they do this? They look you as an example. That's why we as a church need to endure to the end. We have many distractors. Distractors in our personal life. But we also as a church have, we will have many distractors. The wisdom is to realize that it's a distractor. I have this passage here. That's Brother Gordon's first passage, but I will read it anyway, because I have it here. God wants you to listen to it, to read it again, because He wants you to understand this. Hebrews chapter 13, 8. Maybe all of you know this by memory. Jesus Christ, it says, the same when? Yesterday, today, and when? And forever. Yes, his plan is the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why it's the kingdom that is going to remain in until Jesus Christ come. I like this part. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Run with endurance. We need to run the race with endurance. Let's read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, again, patience, meekness. Fight a good fight of the faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I have underlined, fight the good fight of faith. We have a fight. We have a battle. But the battle is not ours. It's God. But we need to fight with him. At the side of him. Fight the good fight. That's what we need to do every day. Sometimes we're fighting, but we are not fighting the good fight. We're fighting differently. It says here, fight the good fight of faith. It says also before many witnesses. We need to fight every day in our lives. We need to, sometimes we think that the fight is with other, sometimes the fight is with me. It's with my personal opinions, if it's of my personal way of thinking in my life. I'm a kind of person that, when I was young, it's hard that someone tell me what to do. Even the people that lives close to me, like my mother, my daughter, my wife, as a person, it's hard for me to take orders, to do what other people want me to do. I want to do what I think that's correct. But God loves me. That when he tells me something, I know that it's God's word, but because it touched my heart. And I say, I will say it. I will do it. God knows. God loves me. Love his church. Let's continue. Moroni chapter 6. It says, Moroni chapter 6, verse 5. It's a passage that all of you know, but when every time we read it, we can understand more of it, correct? Yes. It says, And their names were taken, that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God. To keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. Is it not wonderful? It says that we need to be nourished by the good word of God. It says good word of God. It means that there are word of God out there that is not good. The good word of God. For what? To keep them in the right way. Only the word of God can keep us in the correct way. Thanks to God, because he has patient with us, with me. He's always talking to us as a pastor in the church. Always God is giving us information. Is it not a blessing? To keep us in the right way. God gives us many situations in life to keep us in the correct way. Sometimes when things happen around us, sometimes we worry too much. Yes or no? Oh, yes. We worry too much. We see that the problems are bigger than our faith, than the church. Yes. And we think, how can we deal with this? We had an experience. And not months ago, one of our dear brothers, alert in the church, pastor of the Cancun local, passed away. We were worried about the future of the church there. But you know, God is in control. What are we going to do? God is going to help us. And he did. I remember the story, you know the story, but usually we forget it. Yes or no? We forget it. Yes. The story that of Nephi, when he was told to construct the boat, the brother said, how are you going to do that? He said, I don't know. It's my favorite answer. Many people ask me, you have the experience. I have a question for you. I know the answer. I don't know. God knows. Correct? Yes. There are things that I don't know. God is in control. Yes. And what happened there? And the brother passed away, and I pray for the work that can grow. And now I'm a pastor of the Cancun local. But the good thing is because the church grow. Yes. And now, when I go there on weekends, the people that are meeting us, the same crowd as you have it here. When I go there, they ask me how many people attended to the Phoenix reunion. And it's not a blessing. Sometimes we say, what's going to happen when someone is not there? God is in control. God will do it better than I can do things. And now we are having more people, more families. We have a family there that comes from Guatemala. The world can grow there. Yes, we have many young families. We have future there. God knows what he's going to do. One time, someone from here asked me, what is going to happen when Brother Don McAndoo cannot go to Mexico? Nothing. The work will grow. And it's growing now. Yes. And I God has the better, the best solutions than we do. We need to keep the right way. Let's continue. Second book of Nephi, chapter 11. Second book of Nephi, chapter 11, 145. I like to read this. It says, "For behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will show into the world that I am the same when yesterday, today, and what? And forever." And he said, "And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith." God is a God of miracles. I was listening to your testimonies, and we know that God is a God of miracles. Last Tuesday, I went to a hospital in Merida, in Mexico, to pray for a young sister that she was very sick. She was 3 days in an intensive care with some water in her lungs. Difficult. But now she's out of the hospital. She's out of the intensive care. She's in the room, but she's getting better every day. I had the opportunity to go and pray for her and minister to her. But I also had the opportunity to talk with her about the salvation, about baptism. She attends the church, but she needs faith. She needs repentance, baptism. So we have that opportunity to talk with her. And God is helping her, giving her one more opportunity in her life. "For behold, I am God, I am a God of miracles." Yes. When we say this, people would say, okay, then everything, God is going to heal us. Not in that way, because it's also a miracle that if you have a sickness, and probably God is not going to heal you, but it's a miracle in your life that your faith can grow, like in my life. I have gone to the hospital 3 times. I don't plan to go there again, but I don't know. But God sent me there because He wants me to teach me love, patience, love to the people. That's why now I'm ready to visit someone in the hospital, because I know how to be in the hospital suffering. God is a God of miracles. If it says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God works according to our faith." Do you know, something that we have seen in Mexico in these last years is that people that stop going to church for some reasons in the past, now they are coming back. Is it not a blessing? They're coming back because God is giving them one more opportunity. Yes. Second book of Nephi, chapter 11, verse 54. It says, second book of Nephi, chapter 11, verse 54. Listen what it says in here. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. For by denying him, he also denying the prophets and the law. The right way is to believe in Christ. Which is the right way? To believe in Christ. He's the way, he's the life. The right way is to believe in Christ. Do not lose your focus. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. The right way is to believe in Christ. To put our eyes on Jesus Christ. Verse 55. And now behold, I saw saying to you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Do you believe that? Is the Holy One of Israel. When he talks to me, he gave me words that I don't have anything to say. I'm a person that when someone gives me an opinion, I have 20 more opinions. But when God tells me something, I don't have something to say. Because he's the Holy One of Israel. Do not stay away from the correct way to salvation. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ every day. That's the only way you can have your salvation. That's the only way we can, as a church, endure to the end. Do not pay any attention to other distractors out there. Christ is in here. He's with his church. He's at the head of his church. He's directing the church, especially these times. God knows our doubts. When I was young, I have many doubts. I was, my father tried to teach me, and when he says something, I have 20 more things to tell him. That's the natural man. But God loves me, and he taught me, and he's always teaching me to do the things what I need to do, because Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Keep your eyes on the Holy One of Israel. Thank you very much. I will continue praying for you. Remember, you are not alone with your problems, with your situations. Christ is with you, and we are supporting you with our prayers. That God is leading his church, and he's with us today. Thank you.